The economy has lost more than 2 million jobs since last March. More than 1.5 million workers have been unemployed for at least 6 months. Many are white-collar professionals. Their ranks include baby boomers at the peak of their careers, with hefty mortgages, tuition bills, hopes for retirement, and expectations that are hard to abandon. NPR's Kathleen Schalk has this profile of one such man.
For 30 years, Steve Meltzer never slowed down. His last title was vice president for brand building for an aggressive young company called March First that helped other companies exploit the internet. He made lots of money, jetted around Asia, took great vacations, and figured his future was secure. But then, about 2 years ago, the company imploded.
It was an epic collapse. It wasn't just a small sort of puff of smoke from I think $2.5 billion in revenue to zero in the space of a year.
Meltzer left Hong Kong, where he'd been based, and moved to a suburb of Washington, D.C.
My degree of confidence at that time was so high that I figured, well, I don't have a job, but I'll get one. And so we moved here, bought a house. Most people, buy the house, buy the car, then lose the job, lose the house, lose the car. But we actually lost the job first and then bought the house and the car. That's how confident I was that things would work out. But this, of course, was all pre-9/11.
Meltzer's been looking hard for work. He hasn't found it. In his spare time, he's begun writing about the experience.
I hammer the phones, scour the online job sites. I sidle up to long-neglected contacts to plead for a crumb of a referral. I send eloquent letters and stellar credentials to recruiters, offer to put my skill, my sweat, my children's futures in their hands. They don't even acknowledge the attempt. Some days I lose it. Months of bullet-biting, pride-swallowing restraint shatter, and I'm furious. I stalk through the house, cursing, pound the kitchen counter, startling even our sloth-like golden retriever, as I'm ordinarily the calmest of men.
On this day, Meltzer is calmly pouring coffee, and the huge golden retriever wags her tail continuously as she ambles through the Meltzer's sunny home. Meltzer is lean, with longish dark hair and a dry sense of humor. It's easy to imagine him and his wife Ellen as college students. But nowadays they have kids of their own. Steve Meltzer is taking advantage of being out of a job and spending more time with them. He says it's been wonderful to finally have the time to talk and work and play with them.
They're growing. They're becoming more and more themselves, and you can see who they are, the people within, just by virtue of longer moments of exposure and hanging out together. I used to sort of glance off of their lives in a way. I would come back from work and the house would be in full cry of activity and everybody was off doing their stuff.
Now, practically every day, Meltzer picks up his fifth grade son, Logan, from school and helps him with his homework.
How much homework have you got?
More than usual.
Really? Why is that?
English essay, English paragraph, and 3 pages or 4 pages of Spanish.
That doesn't sound like that much.
So, when they get home, there's time for some basketball.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Uh-huh. Want to play tough now?
Come on. All right, nice shot.
Yeah.
Nice shot.
Meltzer's son Logan isn't tall, but he dribbles between his legs and sinks turnaround jump shots. Right. And Steve Meltzer holds his own.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
How many shots do I get for that?
You get none.
Well, what was that?
Technically. It's a foul.
Yeah, right.
Mine.
Not for long.
The Meltzers are still paying for things like music lessons. They're guarding their daily routines and trying to live as normally as possible to keep from alarming the children. But Steve Meltzer says he does panic at times.
There are moments when I start to think about having to sell the house and take the kids out of the schools that they're in and basically, walk out of this neighborhood with bags over our shoulders like gypsies. The crash of expectations, I guess. It would be a difficult thing to deal with. It would not be at all difficult to survive better than far too many people are surviving, but it would be kind of disappointing to have to leave all this behind. It's hard enough to grasp that I think I don't even quite grasp it yet.
Meltzer's wife, Ellen, says she's glad her husband manages to stay relatively optimistic.
He's always thinking and generating and brainstorming ideas about all kinds of things. Whereas I just sort of get paralyzed and think, oh my God, we're going to run out of money soon. And in fact, we probably will run out of money soon.
Ellen Meltzer is young-looking, petite, with long, wavy hair. She earns some money doing advertising work as a freelancer, but nowhere near enough to meet their expenses. She speaks matter-of-factly about her family's predicament, even manages to joke about it as if it were the story of a bizarre vacation, but she says she does worry.
There's a lot of up and down, and that's really hard. You know, especially I think for somebody like Steve, who is a pretty steady, solid, you know, happy, easygoing guy. And then, you know, when I see him feeling really bad, then I know things are really bad because he doesn't feel bad easily.
Meltzer says the worst time for her is late at night when she wakes up and can't get back to sleep. She begins to describe her nighttime thoughts, and her face suddenly changes.
Oh, sometimes I think that it would be really horrible, that it could get really horrible, but not that often. But I've certainly imagined.
The Meltzers still have some money in their house. It's charming and solid on a street lined with old trees and azaleas that will bloom in bright day-glow colors in the spring. Meltzer says he has to believe something will come through, and they'll be able to keep the life they've made here. He says he's begun to wonder if he's being arrogant.
I find it hard to believe that someone who has certain skills and is absolutely willing to use them on behalf of worthy, decent work just can't find it. And I think this is an experience that, you know, millions of people have run into at their own levels in their own ways over, you know, the course of the whole history of the country and the economy.
But Meltzer says he never dreamt it could happen to him. And knowing that lots of people with equally long resumes are in the same fix doesn't make it any easier. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.